I was more than a little nervous last week as Ashley shared his talk, and I saw my verses one by one being knocked down, as it were, the boxes being ticked. But you know, there is something when God speaks, and he's spoken in advance, and then he speaks, that there is a message we need to get hold of. And so I didn't feel it right to do anything different. Well, a couple of changes, but to what I felt God had told me to. And Fiona, where, there you are. Thank you. The songs have set us up very nicely, and we'll continue to do so. What happened was about 3 weeks ago, I was reading this book. It's called Incomparable by Andrew Wilson. It's loads and loads and loads of little 2 and 3 page mini reflections, if you like, that just point us towards God. But it was in the foreword to the introduction that I came across one line that just grabbed me. And it's a verse from Romans 12, verse 11. And it says this: don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the Spirit as you serve the Lord. I felt that was a little challenging. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. I think some of us quite like to not be enthusiastic. But this is God's word to us. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. And then later on in the book, there's a piece by Tim Hughes. If you know Tim Hughes, he's a singer, songwriter. We often will sing his songs. He's a worship leader. He said this. He said, we constantly need fresh revelation and understanding of who God is. We dumb him down to an earthly level, failing to see that he is above and beyond our human understanding. It is important to remember that God is not made in our image. On the contrary, we are made in his. When we encounter God, uncreated, all-powerful, self-existent, maker of all things, uncontained, unbreakable, unfathomable, and infinite, we find perspective. I'm going to read that again because I could have done the whole talk just on that little bit there. When we encounter God, uncreated, all-powerful, self-existent, maker of all things, uncontained, unbreakable, unfathomable, and infinite, we find perspective. We learn to embrace the smallness of who we are and marvel in the vastness of who he is. Earthly pleasures can no longer take the place of knowing God and being known by him. We are left ruined because when we encounter the reality of God, true worship is the only outcome. Just think about that for a moment. If Jesus himself were to walk through the back doors, I suspect not one of us would be left, sat, or stood. We would be on our knees. We would be prostrate before him in the presence of his holiness. And that's an interesting dynamic because the word, I don't often do this, but the Greek word for worship is this, proskuneo. And proskuneo literally means to kiss towards. It conveys a gesture of profound respect, of homage, of adoration, or is the where we get our word prostrate. I'll get them the right way round. There is a very important distinction when we fall before God. But it's also this really thing, when we come closer to God in worship, he comes closer to us. We kiss towards in worship. Now, we tend to think about worship as singing. Often we'll use the word worship and we instantly think of singing, but worship should be our whole lives. We can worship with singing, that's true, and it's great to do so, but we could also do with writing or dancing or painting or mime or, I know, gardening. You can think what, but our whole lives should be worship. But I want to come back to that verse we started with, the Romans 12 verse. Can I encourage us, as we do engage in worship, that we engage our whole bodies, that we are enthusiastic? I never forget singing. It was a long time ago. We sang at the church where I was at, which was as I was becoming a Christian. I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got that joy. And I thought, well, tell your face. Let's be those who worship enthusiastically, that we on fire in the spirit as we serve the Lord. Of course, the reality is, in our society, and for us as Christians too, we worship all sorts of things. We give our energy and our focus, our time, to all sorts of things. Now, it's a shame Rog isn't here this morning, because this one was especially for him. I found a picture of Aston Villa fans. Do you know, if you... It's just those three at the front now. If you go, and I've only ever been to two football games, but if you go to a football, you see worship, enthusiastic, mad, sold out worship. The same could be true if you go to a concert. You watch the fans at Glastonbury. They are worshiping. Whether they should or not is a different question, but they are. Or what about this? You can say, oh, I don't go to football, I don't go. What about the TV? Has that become an idol in the corner of a room? Something that absorbs our time? Something that consumes who we are? No, I can't come out for that. I actually heard this quote. Someone said it to me. Sorry, I can't make the prayer meeting. I've got Love Island to watch. That is an actual quote. We give ourselves to sport or music or TV, maybe shopping, maybe social media, maybe it's gaming. Sometimes it can even be family, friends, even church. But our focus should be primarily on God Himself. When we give our time, our energies, our enthusiasm, and our focus to God instead of other stuff, something deep within us changes. So let's catch a little glimpse of God. So where do we start? Kezia, where do we start? It's a very good place to start. Thank you, Kez. Kez will soon be appearing in the Cotswold Playhouse production of Sound of Music. So, we're going to start at the very beginning, because it's a very good place to start. Genesis 1:1 tells us, in the beginning, God. God created the heaven and the earth. There was nothing, and God spoke, and there was something. You see, God is, was, and always will be the beginning of all things. There's so much we could focus on, and I got distracted going down all sorts of rabbit holes. But let's focus on just one thing right now. God made two great lights. This is Genesis 1:16. God made two great lights. The larger one to govern the day, and the smaller one to govern the night. And he also made the stars. Just a very small, 5 words. Now, if you talk to an astrophysicist, and they start explaining to you the enormity of space. Even talk to one of our sick formers, they'll tell you about the enormity of space. It's all summed up in those five words. He also made the stars. I know I've told you this story again, but it's relevant. When Sue and I were on the Isles of Scilly, we were camping. And one night at about 2-3 in the morning, but you should know the Isles of Scilly is one of the few recognized dark sky places in the world because there is no artificial light. You are 35 miles out from Cornwall on a little rock in the middle of what is soon to be the Atlantic. It's the English Channel crossing to the Atlantic. It's where they merge. And at 2:30 in the morning, I had to go out, get up at the tent and go for a wee. So I'm going, and as I stepped out the tent, it was like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. This picture doesn't do it justice. You could see the swirls of the Milky Way. It was just stunning. I woke Sue up and said, she goes, what are you doing? I said, you have got to see this. Something of the enormity, the majesty, the spring. And we just both walked around campsite, just looking up. It was fantastic. Last week, Ashley referred to this moment as God was creating the cosmic orchestra of the planets with Jesus himself as the conductor. Is it any wonder then that in Isaiah 40, we see this, lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. Yeah, every one of them's got a name. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one of them is missing. Now, I want you to imagine the conversations that are going on. One morning, Jesus wakes up and he goes, oh, I've just been wandering around the stars. He said, by the way, anyone seen Asia Minor? It seems to have gone missing. What about if you looked up in the sky tonight and suddenly, I'm sure the plough was there. No, it's gone. Mars. No, gone. They're all there because God keeps on sustaining. It's not like he set it all in motion and walked away, and if a few disappear, it doesn't matter. God knows what he's doing. He's actually rather good at it. Our problem is we tend to think that God should do it our way. In our lives, we tend to think he should do it the way we want to do it because we know better than him about us, don't we? And that, of course, was the original problem going right back to Genesis. Man wanted to be like God. That feeling still persists. If you have got any doubt about that, just look at your news. Look at the world's political problems if you want any evidence of the fact that man still wants to be like God. So we need to reprioritize. We need to get things into their proper proportions and their proper perspective. I'm not going to read all of this, but a lot of the words and the verses in that last song we sung came from chapters 38 and 39 of the book of Job. The book of Job, often people don't read it. They think it's a miserable book. It's all about Job losing everything. But actually, it's a book that points us, it points us to God. At Bible school, we were encouraged to do a one-line summary of every book of the Bible. And for Job, we were given ours. It's that God is enough. Job didn't need anything else. He just needed God. And you get to 38, 39, and his advisors have been given all sorts. And God says, enough. He says, enough. Where were you? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions? Who stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations? Who laid its cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. By the way, just an aside here. There are various debates about whether the angels were created at the same time as the humans or not. We know now they weren't, because when the earth was being created and the foundation stones were being laid and God was doing it all, the angels were singing for joy. So they must have been there. Aside. So such an important question, yes. But if you go on, if you read through Job 38 and 39, you'll see God asking questions like, so have you seen the storehouses of hell? Do you know where the lynx gives birth on the mountains? Who determined how far the sea should come up the shore and then stop? God asks all these questions, which of course we can't answer. He is so much better at this stuff than we are. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time, for he has planted eternity into the human heart. We live in a town that likes to think of itself as very spiritual, probably in the wrong way in a lot of times, but very spiritual. And when I have conversations with people, I say, you know the reason that is? It's because God has placed eternity into your heart. There is some longing in you, some spiritual connection with eternity that can only be met by God. That's what God has done for us. So let's go back to the beginning, very briefly. These verses are often only read at Christmas, but I think it gives us perspective. In the beginning, the Word already exists. So this is John's Gospel. And you can see instantly he's mirroring Genesis. He's saying this is really important. We've got to go back to the beginning. In the beginning, the Word, which is Jesus, already existed. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. And the Word, that is Jesus, gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. Now, John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And that's the lead up, and that's the Christmas story, that the light was coming into the world. And then it tells us he came into the very world he created. But the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Now, I don't know about you, but if you read those verses, it tends to make me want to worship and say thank you. Maybe not for you. Hebrews 1 says, the Son radiates his own glory and expresses the very character of God. In other words, you look at Jesus, the Son, you're going to see God. It's a character. I could have put a picture of my grandchildren up there and me, and you go, oh, yes, we can see the family rooms. I look in the mirror and I see my granddad. More often than not, I see my granddad. Why? Because I reflect his image. Jesus reflected the Father's image. And he sustains everything by the power of his mighty command. When he had cleansed us from our sin, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. He sustains everything. He didn't just set this up, create it all, spun or put the on switch on and just watch it happen. No, he sustains it. Now then, someone's dropped something on it, so I'm going to have to do a quick fix. This is my Lego model. It's of Lando Norris's Formula One car. There we go. It's now got its tail back on where it should be. Okay. I built this model from a kit. It had all the right parts. It had the instructions. And I built it. And I was very proud of myself. And Sue said, "So what are you going to do with it now?" Yeah. Thing is, there's not a lot I can do with it, is there? I've built it. This is not what God did with the world. I think God and the world, and this is a very poor analogy, so please forgive me, but it's the best one I could come at. I think it's a bit more like this. That God created, but he sustains. A baby needs to be fed and watered and loved and held and clothed. And the baby develops. The baby will progress. And I think that's what God sustains all that he has made. He's still actively and intimately involved in every part of his creation. And that includes you and me. He hasn't just set it off running and gone, "There, I've done my bit," and go and sit in a big armchair somewhere. He's not sat on a cloud with a harp. God is intimately involved in all he has made. And what is our response? Well, you are worthy. This is Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased." Without God, they wouldn't exist. So Psalm 19:1, which was where Ashley started. "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies declare his craftsmanship." You've only got to go out on a night sky and look up. Or even on a bright blue sky like that, and you see the sun. You could look at creation. Romans 11 goes on to tell us this. Romans 11:36. "For everything comes from him and exists by his power, and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forevermore. Amen." I don't know what it is that captures your imagination. I've known this quote for years. It's ascribed to various people, but the honest way, no one really knows who first said it. "Life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away." If you are just ticking off the days without thinking about what are the things that actually captivate you, inspire you. This view, by the way, this is of the remarkable mountain range in Queenstown, New Zealand. And when we were last in New Zealand, Stephen booked for Sue and I and the family to have 3 days in Queenstown, and this was the view from our living room window. And it was like, and it changed during the day as the night. I was up watching the sunrise at 4 a.m. and I watched the sun go down at 10 a.m. because it just captivated me. But I'm not worshipping the mountains. I'm worshipping the one who made them. I want you to think about those moments that take your breath away. It might just be it's the majestic views. It might be a stunning sunrise or a sunset. It might be holding a newborn baby and just looking at the marvel at what God's created. It might be knowing you are truly loved, knowing that you have a God who loves you more than you could possibly ask or think, and there's nothing you can do that will make him love you anymore, and there's nothing you can do that will make him love you any less, because that's who God is. It might be it's a piece of music that turns the hairs to stick out on the back of your neck because it's just some sublime, wonderful. It might be it's a work of art and you go into a gallery and you stand before it. We don't worship any of these individual things, but we worship the God who made them possible. Whatever it is, let us be a people who choose to worship. In the midst of all that's happening, in the midst of all that there is, we find the wonder and the spectacle and the majesty that God has put in place because he is still sustaining it. We sometimes pass over the doxology. Jude 1, 24 and 25. "Now all glory to God who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory alone to him who is God and Savior, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. Amen. So let us now take a fresh view, a fresh perspective, a bigger view of God. Let's proskuneo. Let's lean in and kiss towards God, and an act of deep respect. And as we do so, realize that God himself is leaning in towards us. Let's join together again in sung worship to the one that made all things possible and continues to sustain us and not just put us on a shelf as something nice to look at.